This podcast is brought to you by The Province.
The Province Sports Podcast.
Welcome to the Whitecaps Weekly. It is Monday, April 25th. I'm Patrick Johnson here in the Province Studios, and on the line is Mark Weber, who is, I don't know, Mark, are you doing the dishes? What's going on there?
I was just doing the dishes, actually. That's funny. I will walk into the sunshine for this pod.
Lovely.
Just got back from practice, getting writing for tomorrow. I like these 3-game weeks, you know, none of this nonsense, just training. Just games. Just give us more games.
It's busy days, you know.
They got a squad, let's see it. No, I like these opportunities for I think we will see more of the first team on Wednesday. That's my gut feeling. Western Conference game, home game, you know, how do you not put your best lineup out there? But and then you go to New York with, you know, you check on everyone's fitness levels, energy levels, and go there with the best lineup possible for that game. I think that's got to be the strategy, especially with KC coming off having played Sunday afternoon. So you can say it's only a 12-hour difference or so, but it's, you know, I mean, to me, it's a day. It's another day difference, basically. You've got an extra sleep in there, an extra rest. So I think that should play in the Caps' favor, too.
It's an interesting one, you pointing out that, of course, 2 games and you play your best team. Interesting note that you Pedro Morales could play.
Yeah, I think we'll see him on the bench on Wednesday. He was training fully today. BC Place on Tuesday morning, and then looked pretty bright. So I think he'll be, you know, do you slot him right into the starting 11? It's possible. You know, you might look at the guy's energy levels from Saturday's Dallas win and just decide that, you know, 1 or 2 changes are necessary just to freshen it that little bit. And perhaps Morales becomes one of them, but that would really surprise me. I think, you know, he's been out 3 weeks and to throw a guy in from the start doesn't make as much sense as bringing him off the bench, getting him 30 minutes and then looking to start him in New York on Saturday. I think that's the more logical path. The only difference being the only sort of downside to that being that you're going to travel him to the East Coast as, you know, for his return from injury. So maybe there's a little bit of concern over that, but you know, I don't see it. I think it's, you know, it's a direct flight to New York if they want to take it. I'm not sure if they're flying direct, but not a very arduous trip, I would say, compared to some of the other cities where you got to have layovers and all that stuff, which seems to, you know, risk his lower back acting up, and then all these kind of upper leg injuries he seems to get that are related to his back. So I don't think there'll be too much concern of that New York game, but perhaps that plays into it. You know, maybe they look to push him on Wednesday because of that. But I think when the team comes off a decent performance like that on Wednesday, you pretty much stick with it unless guys are just absolutely gassed.
I guess worth noting as well, you mentioned it briefly in your story today, which was that the Whitecaps record with Morales in the lineup is notably better than when he's not in the lineup.
And I think you might have the numbers in front of you. What was it? I think it's like 22, 13, and 13.
You got it. Exactly. 9, 12, 12, and 7 when he's not playing. I mean, as much as people like to maybe rag on him a bit, that is clear influence there, isn't it?
No, I could totally agree. I mean, people have this. Some people, I think, have it out for Pedro. Although, if you saw the lineup for his autograph before the game on Saturday, they had him available. You know, you realize quickly how popular a player he is, and understandably so. I think, like, when you're the highest paid guy on the team and you're the star and you're the DP and you're expected to perform every game, of course, you know, the scrutiny is going to be there. But I mean, that record speaks for itself. I mean, we're over two plus seasons now. I think you can call that statistically significant. And I mean, the record is quite stark in how different it is. So, you know, I think they have added players that allow them to compete without him. I mean, Mesquita's helped for sure. showing he can do a job in that number 10 role. But no one, you know, you have to change your game a little bit. I mean, no one can play. They don't have anyone who's a like for like replacement for Morales, the way he sprays the ball around the field and creates chances. So, you know, they have to go about things in a different way when he's not on the field. And like I said last year, you know, even when they were winning without him, because Mosquito was playing so well, and Morales had a good few, Rosales rather had a good few weeks, you know, I did say the whole time, at some point that catches up to you. There's no way this team can win in the playoffs without Pedro Morales at his best, and I still believe that. In this league, your DPs are so important. I mean, that's how the league is set up. It's for you to be able to go and spend beyond the cap on three players who have to be big time influential difference maker type guys for you. And if they're not in the lineup, you know, you're eventually that's going to catch up to you. So, you know, they've done okay without him. But certainly they're much, much better with him.
You bring up again the question of the DPs. We talked about Rivero last week. Do we feel any differently? You know, still hasn't scored. What'd you make of him on Saturday?
I thought he was good. Look, I think it was similar. I think he did a lot of things well. I think he was, you have to say he played a role in the win just with his work ethic and his hold up play and his defending. And but, you know, didn't really get a great chance. Didn't have a goal, obviously. I think between now and the summer, like I said, I think between now and the summer, you're going to make your mind up on him, really. I don't know how much flexibility they have in terms of their cap right now. So it's kind of hard to comment on it from a perspective of what they may or may not be able to do in the summer. But I think, look, he has to score eventually. If they get on a roll and he's not scoring, that's great. But it still doesn't solve this problem. Eventually, it's going to catch up to you. No, at some point, you're going to need a striker who scores goals. They can't go week after week getting goals from fullbacks and center backs off set pieces. And you know, they need their wingers to play better, which they did last week. They need Bolaños to play better, et cetera, et cetera. And they can get contributions off the bench from a guy like Perez. But at 35, Perez is not going to start 20 games between now and the end of the season. So at some point, they're going to need Rivero to get out of this. You know, if they perform like they did the last couple of weeks, then it takes the pressure off him. But as you saw, I think over the last month or so, as soon as they're losing games or not winning games, you know, the spotlight falls on Rivero or falls on Morales. And that's just the nature of the beast. So I think, you know, all a result like that Dallas game does is it lifts maybe some of the media pressure, the fan pressure off of him, but you know, he's going to have to come out of this slump eventually, sooner than later, I would suggest. But it was nice to see Perez come off the bench. You know, great storyline against his former team, and right away, I mean, wins the header and then wins the race to the ball, pokes it into Mane's path for the 3-0 goal. So you see the kinds of little battles Perez can win and how clutch a player he seems to be. So I think, you know, fans are drawn to him for obvious reasons, and I've said it all along, I think it's a great signing. But I stand by the fact he's 35, and you cannot make him your go-to guy. You know, maybe Kudo, if and when we see him, you know, can he at some point in the season get on a bit of a run and take some pressure off Rivero? Perhaps, but I think, you know, it's just too early to say that. So, you know, I think the one thing that stood out to me in that game of Rivero, there was a point where he gave the ball away poorly, and he sprinted back about 60 yards to make a defensive play. So that's what you get from him. You know, he's going to work his tail off for this team, and that's why, like I wrote a couple of weeks ago, I think that's, you know, that's why fans have given him the benefit of the doubt for so long. It's because they're not stupid. I mean, they respect his work ethic, but, you know, strikers are paid to score goals. Not too much more complicated than that.
Another guy that I've been meaning to mention, I keep forgetting, is the progress of Fraser Aird. It speaks to the quality of the player, doesn't it? How well he's adjusted.
Yeah, I think it speaks to his character and his sort of mental side of his game, which are things we talked about right after the season opener against Montreal. I mean, a guy, a 21-year-old who goes on to a halftime interview and puts his hand up and says, "That goal's on me, and I got to be better." I mean, right away, I thought, well, okay, now they've got a good character guy here, and a guy who can admit when he's had a poor game or a poor moment, and wants to get better, wants to learn. And so, I think that's the starting point for any young player to make it. And then you need the ability. I mean, the ability's there. We can all see that, especially going forward. I mean, his engine is terrific. His crossing is terrific. So those are two very, very good assets for a modern fullback. And learning the defensive side of the game, you know, a lot of that's about that comes down to the coaching staff. And it comes down to Fraser, you know, applying himself defensively. And I think we've definitely seen, I mean, since that first game, his progression pretty much just week after week, how much better he's gotten. With his positioning, with maybe the moments he picks to go forward and not get himself exposed, his one-on-one defending has certainly been better, getting tighter to guys, not letting guys turn on him and run at him. And what's amazing about his sort of, well, journey, if you want to call it that, already just in 7-8 weeks here is the guys he's gone up against. And you could not have asked for a tougher first 2 months in MLS. I mean, from Piatti, he's faced Dempsey, he's faced Zuzi, he's faced Plata, you know, Castillo last week. He's gone up against the LA Galaxy. So he's, without a doubt, you know, week to week, I mean, he's had the toughest 1v1 assignments of anyone. And that says a lot about him, I think. You know, when you project that over the course of the season and over the course of his career, I think it's, you know, that's a very, very positive sign. And now what he needs is a few of his teammates to get on the end of some of his crosses, because I think he is a guy who, you know, who could get this team, you know, 7-8 assists a year.
Looking at Sporting Kansas City, who is coming to town on a 3-game losing streak, perhaps a bit of a funk similar to the Whitecaps. I note that, you know, they seem pretty tight defensively, but like the Caps have been struggling to score goals. Is it really that simple, you think, from your bits of research?
Yeah, they've had their moments over the years where they've struggled to score, and they've always been a good defensive team. And they've, I'm going to say I'm on the fence on what they've done in the offseason, and they've made some good moves. They've made some moves like acquiring Brad Davis, who's has been an excellent player for Houston over the years. You wonder about his age a little bit, how much he has left to give, but Casey's always, you know, they're always in the mix, and they've built a very good program, very good team under Peter Vermees over the last few years. I think you know, every single week against them, you're gonna have a fight, and you're gonna have to work really, really hard to score. You've got excellent defensive midfield players. It's a fun matchup too, I think. You know, Don Dwyer and Kendall Waston, they all know that matchup last time these teams faced each other at BC Place was worth the price of admission alone. But you know, the Caps, I think, are catching them at a good time. 3 losses in a row for Casey and having played Sunday in San Jose. You know, you could say they might be a bit of a surly bunch because of that, and that might spark them. But you know, I think it's going to be a tough trip for KC, and you got to like the mood that the Caps are going to be in after that Dallas win. They certainly looked, I mean, after the 1-0 goal, they were good. After the 2-0 goal, they were just playing very freely and with you know, more confidence than we've seen at any time this year. And I think that'll serve them well going into Wednesday. But yeah, KC for me is going to be, I'd have to go back and look at my preseason predictions, but I think I probably had them, you know, battling for that kind of 6th playoff spot, which I think is where they'll be come the end of the year. They don't spend as much money as the big guys, so they're never going to get it done that way. But Peter Vermees is an excellent coach, and they always have, you know, a good, balanced, hardworking team that's hard to break down, and that, you know, that usually serves you pretty well in this league.
I did a poll this morning in the morning skate where I asked people whether they were still worried about the Whitecaps, and 80% said yes. Actually, I guess it's 81%. 80.99% said yes, they're still worried.
Yeah, interesting. I think that's mostly probably reflecting the striker issue. I mean, you know, people know you can't, eventually your guys up front have to score for you. You're not, I don't know of any team that's won a championship without a striker scoring a goal. So I think that's what that stems from, you know, and that's fair enough. It's one game. It's one game. And I tend to agree with Carl Robinson, who said he thought, you know, they played better in Salt Lake at times, certainly in the first half, than they did at times against Dallas, certainly in the first half. I would agree. I mean, I think their first half in Salt Lake was better than their first half against Dallas. You know, some bounces go your way, others don't. There's lots of room for improvement in their performance. And I think probably aside from the Rivero striker question, what's reflected in that poll answer is the fact that the goals came from an own goal and came from a defender in Jordan Harvey. I mean, everyone seems to want to nitpick how the balls go in. You still have to create an own goal. I mean, they created it with very good hustle and with an excellent cross from Kakuta Mane. That was a difficult ball for the goalkeeper to handle, but there's no question it involved a good chunk of luck and a gaffe from the goalkeeper. So yeah, I mean, I get that pessimism, I guess, if you want to call it that, but this is a good team for me. I mean, it's a better team on paper than it was last year. You've basically got the same team and you've added a couple of key ingredients in Perez and in Bolaños, who I do think will show his quality as the season goes on. There's no question he's been very poor to start his cap's tenure as he adjusts to things. But I the guy's been in two World Cups, and if you watch him in training, he's an excellent player. And I just think he just needs a bit of time, obviously, to get up to speed here. There's no reason to believe, for me, there's no reason to believe the Caps aren't going to be in that mix again for kind of, you know, spots 2 through 4 in the Western Conference. The big concern, the big caveat there being being the goal scoring up front. And that's, you know, time will tell. Rivero has to get out of a slump, or Kudo has to get a run and prove he can get the job done week after week. Or you better go do some business on the transfer market in the summer.
It's interesting you bring up Bolaños, because that was the one other thing that I was thinking about, was just sort of how long it takes to guys kind of settle. You know, I mean, we looked at Teixeira last year, who didn't even get a preseason, and you know, it took him until sort of sometime in the summer for him to really feel comfortable in the lineup. And you know, we're only what, month and a half into the season, really. And he missed a game from suspension, and you know, there's been, I guess, some fitness questions
It's been a bit of a funny start. I mean, he came in late in the preseason, and then you had him come into preseason and Pedro go down with an injury in Arizona, so they weren't on the field together. Then you had Laba go away for a week. And I'm not saying you have to make excuses for these guys. They're professional athletes and they need to perform. But, you know, there's no question they did not get the time they wanted in preseason with their kind of key, their first choice midfield on the field at the same time, learning each other's tendencies. So I think that put him a little bit behind to start the season. And then, like you say, he gets the suspension and he gets injured. He's sort of in and out of the lineup. What it's hard to excuse is kind of sleepwalking, for lack of a better term, through his substitute performance in Salt Lake. I think that kind of caught a lot of people, it annoyed a lot of people. You never, to come off the bench without energy for 20, 25 minutes, whatever his stint was, 30 minutes in Salt Lake, I mean, that's just inexcusable. But, you know, whether that was the altitude or him coming off an injury and not wanting to push things too hard, I can't speak for him. But it does take time. And everyone, you know, it takes everyone a different amount of time to adjust. We've seen players adjust very quickly to this league. We've seen players take a year before they settle in. I think for Bolaños, you know, another month or so and you should be seeing the best out of him, or I think, you know, then you can maybe be concerned that he's just they're not the right fit for this team or for this league. But I mean, I find it hard to believe that a player of his caliber, who's played in 2 World Cups, who's played 20 plus Champions League games with FC Copenhagen, that he's not going to be able to come in and make a meaningful contribution to this group. I think he will. So yeah, I mean, he's a guy I think we'll see start one of these next 2 games, either Wednesday or Saturday. I could see it, like I said earlier, more likely being Saturday, just because, you know, it, the inclination would probably be to stick with a winning lineup.
Last question, as we, you know, I'm just noted here on the side here that Spurs and West Brom are literally in the last stages of their game today on Monday. Leicester with their big win. How much do you wish you were covering Leicester?
No, I'm a Spurs fan. Don't you know that about me?
I know. That's why
still,
I'm asking.
Is it still 1-0? Is it still 1-0?
It's one, no, Mark, it's 1-1. 2 minutes to go.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
God.
Sorry.
Well, no, I've said it all along. I mean, if you're going to lose the title to anyone, this is the team you want to lose it to. It's been an unbelievable story. If you can't like that, then you can't like sports. So, next year, I do think Spurs is the best team in the league, but that doesn't mean they deserve the title. I think they're pretty well equipped for Champions League next year, which is exciting. But now Leicester's been an unbelievable story, and you know, they go get the business done without Vardy against Swansea, so even more credit to them. And they've got a tough run in, I think, with Unite. Well, tough-ish United, Everton, Chelsea. So going into today, I did have some hope that maybe United could beat them and put some doubt in their minds, and Spurs could pull off the unthinkable. But if it does finish 1-1 today, obviously that's all she wrote.
Absolutely, yeah. Minute to go here. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. Mark, always a pleasure to have you aboard. Post Media
Thank
Weaver
you.
On Twitter, as always.
Yeah.
Facebook.com/ProvinceWeaver. You can find the podcast in iTunes. Just look for Whitecaps Weekly or go to provincesportsradio.com. No, provincesports.com/radio. I always get it wrong. I've been doing that for 2 years. Mark, you have fun out there.
Thanks, buddy. Talk to you after Rivero's goal on Wednesday.